spiral nebulae when appearing edgewise look like figure 1, and when they appear more nearly circular, because their equatorial planes are perpendicular to the line of sight, they look like figure 2. 3. A saucer, acting in an artificial and controlled RMF. The statement has been made that a saucer can enter the Earth's vortex, RMF, because it has an RMF itself. Therefore, a rocket ship cannot penetrate the cleavage layer of the Earth's RMF and is disintegrated because it does not operate in such an RMF. The rocket craft has a magnetic field to be sure, or else it couldn't exist, but it does not have a resonating force field about it. Since resonating electromagnetic fields are found throughout the omniverse, they are interacting and only a saucer or spacecraft with an artificial and controlled RMF can travel in an interstellar manner. Meteorites do not have RMF, and therefore, some will say they cannot penetrate the Earth's field or vortex. First of all, many meteorites and tektites are formed within the RMF of the Earth itself by a process of gathering together at a vortex center of primal matter present everywhere in so-called space. When these meteorites and tektites get large enough, like raindrops, they fall by the inward force of the vortex. Scientists would say gravity, and Einstein in his unified field theory says magnetism. The Earth was originally created in this manner, and cosmic debris was gathered toward its vortex center until it was big enough and had a field intensive enough to go from the comet to the orbiting planet phase. The Earth is still gathering material daily and adding to its mass by the formation of meteorites within its own RMF. These meteorites drop to the surface of the planet. The stone meteorites are created within the Earth's vortex, as are the tektites. These tektites do not come from the moon as has been suggested. The iron meteorites are created by vortical action within the solar vortex, RMF. An object that doesn't have an RMF will be disintegrated. When it enters a vortex in proportion not only to the intensity of the RMF, but also in proportion to its energy, which depends on mass and velocity. Thus, a dense, fast, moving object would not be disintegrated to pure energy, while a less dense, slow body would be if given the same expo, short time in the same field. For example, Captain Mantle's plane was torn to pieces when it came in contact with the RMF of the saucer, whereas it would have disintegrated into pure energy if it had attempted to enter the Earth's RMF. Another example is found when we consider the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. These asteroids are fragments of a planet once known as Lucifer. The question arises, how could the fragments from this destroyed planet have entered the Earth's vortex since they did not have an RMF themselves? The reason is that the asteroid fragments, or any other fragments beyond our planet's RMF, can enter the Earth's field, but they disintegrate by so doing. The law is not, nothing can enter the field unless it also has an RMF. But the law is, anything can enter the field, but it will be disintegrated in proportion to its energy, mass times velocity squared, and the intensity of the field, RMF, it is entering. First, a fine dust came from exploded Lucifer and struck the Earth, turning everything red, then a fine sand came, then coarser sand, then gravel, then meteorites destroyed villages. When Lucifer was destroyed, and its vortex broke, the smallest particles had the greatest velocity, therefore, the larger fragments came last. For more information on Lucifer, Maldk, see Maldk and Malona in this book in the section called, Other Tongues. Some researchers say that saucers operate in a static field, but this is not the case. No interplanetary craft could travel as it does in a static field. Only utilization of the fourth force, or RMF, will enable any kind of a craft to go from one world to another. Saucers and all spacecraft contain their own atmosphere around them like a celestial body. They can go underwater and the RMF will keep the liquid from touching the craft. Refer once again to Plate I. In Figure 1, the black sphere can represent a saucer in its RMF. The perfect shape of a spaceship is a globe or ball, and planets that have only recently succeeded in developing interplanetary craft use such devices. celestial bodies around and globe, like for the same reason. As a planet advances scientifically, its technicians are able to intensify the RMF, and the saucer takes on the shape of its own field. That is why very flat, discus-shaped saucers have been seen, and also, globes have been observed. The more highly advanced the world, the flatter the craft. Eventually, no craft is needed to travel the interstellar distances, and beings are projected to other worlds by thought alone. The reason saucers sometimes have blinking lights on the top and bottom of their craft is because these are the polar vent areas of the ship, just like the polar vent area of Earth, which emit the auroral force. Crossed lines of force exist at the vents, therefore observers see blinking or pulsating lights of various colors. North, south and east, west propulsion operates on different force. Also, a different force is used if the saucer goes up or down. The human being has a very complex field with a maze of vortices. Therefore, a saucer pilot can leave the RMF of his craft by two methods. First of all, as the saucer lowers earthward, its RMF is reduced and drawn into the rim of the craft. Otherwise, its own field would keep it off the ground. If the ship is to be lowered all the way to Earth, then the RMF must be completely drawn into the rim area. This action enables any occupant of the saucer to emerge unharmed. Secondly, if advanced enough, a saucer pilot can control his own field composed of numerous vortices and thereby go through another RMF of low intensity. When Christ walked on the water and performed other so-called miracles, he utilized such knowledge. If the reader will refer to photographs of the crescent-shaped arrow craft or mastercraft in The Coming of the Saucers, by Arnold and Palmer, the craft's flowing center can be observed. This center is the polar vent area where lines of force are crossing. In the same book, mention was made of the saucer that exploded over Maury Island. Sometimes the craft are not constructed perfectly, and their own RMF begins to tear them apart. The angle of incidence of a saucer determines whether it has a high or low intensity field. Likewise, the more the poles are flattened on a planet, the more intense is its RMF. From the Delaware Laboratories, Oxford, England, comes the following information: we have been able to materialize energy particles in a controlled magnetic field and would agree that the materialization of saucers at certain positions in the Earth's magnetic field is entirely possible. Many ask, how are saucers constructed? They don't exhibit rivets, bolts, screws, their surfaces are extraordinarily smooth and their openings don't show when closed. Needless to say, a saucer is not built as we on Earth construct anything. First of all, an electromagnetic field is set up, and within this field, a technician constructs sections of a saucer by his own powers of thought. This is similar to the vortex within the volcano creating the ejected bombs, or the Earth's vortex, itself, originally creating the Earth. After the various small sections are completed, they are joined by pins that are hidden from view. Therefore, no obvious joining together shows from the exterior of the craft. People of other planets do not hammer and pound, cut and saw. They utilize their own creative abilities, such as we all possess, to construct their craft and many other objects. Their clothes have no seams, and this is also because they are woven in an entirely different manner than ours. 66 In The Secret of the Ages, Robert Collier says, "All about you is energy, electronic energy, exactly like that which makes up the solid objects you possess. The only difference is that the loose energy round about is unappropriated. It is still virgin gold, undiscovered, unclaimed. You can think it into anything you wish, into gold or dross, into health or sickness, into strength or weakness, into success or failure. Which shall it be? There is nothing either good or bad," said Shakespeare, "but thinking makes it so. The understanding of that law will enable you to control every other law that exists. In it is to be found the panacea for all ills, the satisfaction of all want, all desire. It is creative mind's own provision for man's freedom. and now man is beginning to get a glimpse of the final freedom that shall be his from all material causes when he shall acquire the complete understanding that mind is the only cause and that effects are what he sees. There is no intelligence in matter, whether it be stone or iron, wood or flesh. Matter is vital force crystallized into the pattern we have given it. Mind is the only intelligence, it alone is eternal, it alone is supreme in the universe. Therefore, all vital force is good. It is only our patterns that are at fault. Before leaving magnetism, the universal I am, it is only proper to discuss what I believe to be the greatest discovery pertaining to the field of anthropological science. Scientists have long pondered the question of what is culture? What constitutes culture? Why culture? Cosmetrology is called the science dealing with the effect of cosmic phenomena on life. If we consider it from the standpoint of magnetism and its effects on humanity and culture, it becomes sort of a science of cultural magnetism. In the sources speak, a space intelligence said, "On your Earth there are magnetic anomalies. Your scientists wonder why meteorites fall in a pattern in certain locations over the world. They also wonder why great civilizations are found where meteorites are found. The answer is simple. The anomalies attract the meteorites, and these same anomalies amplify universal influx from outer space. Therefore, you will find better living conditions, finer art and music and so on in the same place you find the meteorites." In geology, anomaly is a departure from the normal pull of gravity as calculated for any particular place on the Earth's surface. Scientists say that when positive, the anomaly indicates very heavy material beneath the surface, when negative, very light material. Examples of such magnetic anomalies are the Oregon Vortex, mystery spots at Santa Cruz, San Jose, Gainesville, and Los Gatos, California, mystery spot at St. Augustine, Florida, and other locations are known to exist in several places in the United States. There are a number of vortices in the Ojai Valley, others in Canada, others in Mexico, etc. Scientists who have investigated the strange anomalies have only concluded that they know absolutely nothing about the causes for strange visual effects and other distortions in the various anomalies. An anomaly has its own vortex, which is a sub-vortex of the Earth's RMF. The anomaly acts as a universal radio because it amplifies everything coming in from outer space. Highly sensitive individuals have strange experiences when they enter an anomaly area. Their ability at reception is increased to a fantastic degree. If man on Earth wants to communicate with other planets, he should set up his equipment in one of these vortices. One of the interesting phases of the study of meteorites is their distribution over the surface of the Earth. If one would look at a world map that shows the distribution of the iron meteorites, it would be immediately seen that where the meteorites fall there is great civilization or highly civilized peoples. This, as stated before, is because meteorites are attracted to the anomalies, and the anomalies are amplifiers of universal knowledge constantly permeating all space as the music of the spheres. Great cultural centers are found over and near such anomalies. The individuals living in such areas are receivers of this universal knowledge, and it manifests itself in great works of art, music, literature, scientific achievement, architecture, philosophy, etc. Depending on what vibration an individual is operating in, he will create in one of these fields. Here at last is the answer to why culture. Careful studies of geological maps in connection with the plate 2. Major fault lines of the world. 71 number of cancer cases in different areas showed Brunler that the radiation, vortical action of the Earth must have an important bearing on this disease. Therefore everything man does, thinks, says, creates, etc. is magnetic in nature. Magnetism is truly the universal I am. A study of the major fault lines of Earth also shows that culture follows these lines because magnetic anomalies are found along them as well as volcanoes. Trace the fault lines on the world map of Plate 2 and see where they cross areas of great cultural advancement. Remember, this does not necessarily mean civilized centers. Native peoples have created many wonderful cultural items that have never been equaled in modern civilization. The many complex questions arising when origin of certain cultural traits are discussed can be answered by investigation of anomaly areas as they follow the fault zones of Earth. It is interesting to note here that the seven Shangri, Las or seven great hidden cities mentioned by Brownland Dunn are found directly over major fault lines of Earth. Any center of cosmic truth preserving the ancient wisdom would have to be located in such an area. Its inhabitants would require the amplifying qualities of the anomaly in order to continue their higher metaphysical research as masters. Truly, God provided, man divided. For all is magnetic, all is one, all is God. Spinoza said, the universe is one. There is no supernatural, all is related, cause and sequence. 71 Nothing exists but substance and its modes of motion. Book 2, Other Tongues. Chapter 1, The Solex, Mal. This is the symbol of the Solex, Mal, the solar or mother tongue, the universal language of all mankind. This language was the original tongue once spoken on Earth by all people and is still used by the inhabitants of other worlds in outer space. It is a symbolic, pictographic language. Solex means solar, and mal means tongue. In Spanish, the word mal means bad, sin, evil, hurt, injury, illness. In the drawing heading this chapter, we see the solar disk or circle on the left. Extending out from this disk, to the right, is a curved or curled tongue. Therefore, it is literally a tongue as well as a language referring to a tongue. How did the word mal meaning tongue come to signify evil and other negative conditions? James 3:5-8 says, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on. 74 Fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Job 5:21, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. I Peter 3:10, for he that will love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established for ever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Jeremiah 9:5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth, they have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. 75 Jeremiah 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In a Psalm of David, Psalm 39:1, we find, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue, I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. There are many other references to the tongue of man in the Bible, but those referred to will be sufficient to show how the word for tongue in the original mother language came to be used in later languages and the meant bad or evil. St. Matthew 15:11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And in St. Matthew 15:17-20, Jesus said, do not ye yet understand, that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashen hands defileth not a man. Therefore, evil comes from the heart of man, and the tongue is the conveyor of that evil to other men. 76 We must not translate solex, mal, to mean solar bad or solar evil. For originally there wasn't any evil in our solar system. Therefore, solex, mal means, simply, solar tongue. The word mal has come down to us from the dim past and is still used in certain languages of our earth. The inhabitants of the earth at one time spoke and used the solar tongue. All anthropologists and linguists agree that at one time there was only one language, and that from that one language all those existing today came into being. The countless languages of earth are likened unto a tree with many branches. As we go from the top of the tree, we see the branches thinning out. Suddenly there are only two or three large branches, then we arrive at the single trunk. Science knows what languages are represented by the two or three large branches, but they have never yet discovered the original, parent language of Earth. All languages of today are related to it. Our Holy Bible wholly agrees with this theory, and tells us how many languages came out of one. In Genesis 11:1-9, we read, "And the whole earth was of one language, and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and they confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did the confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod and intended to reach to heaven. Nimrod, king of Babylon, wished for greater power and decided to war on God. His tower of bricks in Shinar was built by 600,000 men and was so tall that it took a year to reach the top from it. Some men shot arrows at the sky, and they came back bloodied. When the tower was not quite finished, God sent 70 angels to confuse the tongues of the workmen. One did not understand the next, they fought, some were transformed into apes and demons, and the survivors were scattered as the 70 nations on the face of the earth. One third of the tower sank into the earth, one third was burned, one third remained. Whoever passes the place where the tower stood loses his memory completely. Tradition names: the Tower of Burz, Nimrod at Borsippa as the original. The story may have been inspired in the nomadic people by the ziggurats and the swarming cosmopolitan life of the large Babylonian cities. Somewhat similar legends accounting for the diversity of languages are found in Africa, Eastern Asia, and Mexico. Ancient manuscripts tell us that at one time man on earth lived in a golden age and spoke with angels. This simply means that in Atlantis and Lemuria and before, Earth people were in constant contact with beings from outer space or angels. Through evil and greed and lust, the Golden Age passed from the Earth, and with it went the ability to speak the solex, mal. We will again speak this language of angels, in the new age now dawning. Already we can see the evidence mounting that man needs a common, universal language. The new language of science is interlingua. A grammar and a dictionary of interlingua has been published. This publication, Climax 20, 5 years of work by expert linguists who developed the new language. It comes from some of the languages of the Western world and in its written form more closely resembles Spanish than any other, although it also has French, Italian and English words. It has a 27,000 word vocabulary, including 17,000 scientific and technical terms which already have wide international usage. The grammar is simpler than that of any of the national languages and can be learned in a short time. The following is written in interlingua, Enigia. Es necessary prototo que occurin le mundo. In temporis passat la plus gram page del energia applicatus iva fornite pilla fortia muscula del homies e del animals domestic. The English translation of the above is, energy is necessary for all that occurs in the world. In past times the greatest part of the applied energy was furnished by the muscular strength of men and domestic animals. Interlingua is now a scientific language, but it could become a means of international communication in other fields. For the greatest possible progress in science, it is essential that research workers know the results of work along similar lines by investigators in other countries. There should be a continual exchange of ideas and results. Wouldn't it be wonderful if any person could travel through the world and converse understandably with any literate person in any nation? The new world interlanguage is Esperanto. It is steadily growing in practical use in every civilized land. The pronunciation is simple, there are no irregular verbs, and there are no exceptions to the few grammatical rules. It is so constructed that a vocabulary is quickly acquired. Esperanto short, wave broadcasts average 155 a month and it is taught in 550 schools and colleges, some in the United States. It is being increasingly used by business, and particularly by travel organizations to solve language barriers. Bill Cunningham, in the Boston Herald, said, "There can never really be one world until there's one language, one working language that the people running that world can speak, write and understand." Undoubtedly we need some sort of international language to surmount the barriers that diverse languages have created ever since the building of the Tower of Babel. The difficulty lies in getting people to learn a tongue different from their own. Why learn an artificial language, say the English-speaking nations, when English is so eminently suitable? On the other hand, the French and the Germans and the Italians stubbornly insist that French or German or Italian is the best means of communication. However illogical such a position might appear, one really can't blame them. So we need an international language. The meetings of the United Nations Security Council bear out this need. Everything the Russian delegate says has to be translated into English and French. Not only is this a waste of precious time, but it is also a burden on those who understand Russian and French as well as English. They have to listen to the delegate's words three times running. If the delegate could speak in some international language, much time would be saved and his speeches would have to be heard only once. Many of the old ways will be eliminated in the new age. Even now we can see the trend. We are now in a transitional stage to the golden dawn just ahead of us. We will again speak with angels, for we will understand and speak the Solex, Mal, the original, and universal mother tongue of creation. The inhabitants of other worlds call our earth Saros or Saros. Saros is a Babylonian numeral representing 60 or 3,600. It is also the Chaldean cycle of years, and in ancient Chaldean it meant repetition, or repetition of cataclysms. A fitting word for the Earth planet. Our world is also called Chan or Shan. This word also describes our Earth very well, indeed. Our world has been termed the Sorrowful Planet. Perhaps the word sorrow came from Saros, at least, it sounds like it could have. Eventually, dictionaries will not even be used, for the Solex, Mal is a symbolic, pictographic language. When reading it in written form, one interprets symbols instead of reading words. Therefore, a symbol will be understood by all whether they have ever seen the particular symbol before or not. The following symbolic writing was received by our research group in northern Arizona in 1952. It is believed to be written in Solex, Mal. It has not been translated as yet. Some of it is Atlantean in character and the signatures of prominent personages are in evidence. It is evidently a complete message in itself. Chapter 2. Tracks on the Desert. A man from another world stepped onto the planet Earth on November 20, 1952.